And we are live.
Yay!
We're live.
And no one clipped because we don't have Eric able to scream as much when he's on his phone. I'm not saddened by this. Mm. All right, welcome to Circulus, a homebrew D&D 5th edition campaign setting. I will be your DM for the evening. My name is Crash. With me are a bunch of awesome people. We have Chris, we have Matt, we have Tom, we have Jen, and live via phone connection from somewhere in an undisclosed moving location in Orlando, we have Eric and Logan. But they're heading home, so they will be on actual non-4G connection sooner. So, in our last session, we reached the end of the arc. You had recovered the air focus, otherwise known as a MacGuffin. You fought a bunch of dragons. That was fun. You fought a skeletal dragon. That was fun. You got your butts handed to you by two Nagpa, which are basically anthropomorphic vultures. That was less fun than you would expect. The Raven Queen brought three of you back to life. Well, more than three of you. Four of you, I think. That was creepy. You then sent one of the Nagpa out a window at the edge of a flying city to see if it could fly. And the other one vanished. But you did manage to get the focus handed back to you from the... Well, not back to you, but to you from the mages who had taken out the hag that had been holding on to it. They did remove the hand from the focus before they handed it to you. That was still attached when they first acquired it. And due to their service in defense of the city, the kobolds of Serene have all received official pardons.
And yay!
They are free to stay in the city if they wish as citizens, or... But because this is something that they offer before. The Cloud Giant had previously been charmed the same way that the kobolds had been. And when his charm wore off, he was like, I like it, I'm going to stay. It turns out that he was somewhat ostracized from the other Cloud Giants because of a speech impediment, which you never would have guessed.
Aww.
Yeah. I think that's actually canon, if you look at the source book for this. Yeah. Well, to make a long story shorter, as opposed to short because it's too late, Galen and a bunch of gnome engineers were able to rig up some type of contraption that allows for more passengers on the adamantine dirigible. Now, is this something that where you extended the cabin area, or is this something that is going to hang below the cabin?
Below.
Oh, we are all doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all of us, just everyone who's hanging below. Okay, so you've got that set up for the kobolds, and you have food and refreshment and stuff for them to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is suggested that you at least travel as far as just past the jungle island before you risk this, because not everyone is certain that it's going to hold as well as one would like. And you're not going to get experience points for killing 50 kobolds. That's just not a thing. But you do get to the jungle, and Mayros has already declared that this is his stop. So he gets on one of the planes that they send down to purchase food from the locals, ostensibly to help with the procurement, because he knows a lot of the settlements in the area, so he knows which ones have better pickings as far as readily procured consumables. How do you feel about Tyrannosaurus meat?
Tastes like chicken.
Historically, that's a possibility.
Y'all will love it, don't worry.
Okay. But there is the understanding that he will not be coming back up with the foodstuffs. This is his stop, so you all get to say goodbye. Some of the goodbyes are more tearful than others. All right, and the airplanes, because that's basically what they are, that's not the official name for them, but they come back up loaded with foodstuffs from the various places, and it looks like it might be time to say goodbye. Oh, little sniffles.
Hulk going away theme.
Aww. So
that's about all I remember. I can hear it in my head, but I couldn't reproduce it more than the first couple of minutes.
Oh my goodness.
That's okay. I don't care for the copyright strike anyway.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you want to go back to Coombridge, right?
Yes. Well, I think that's our best bet.
Well, this is where I picked you up. Is there anything you left here that you need to get before we leave, or
have you used the bathroom?
Galen
might ask Aegon more than once.
Wonder why.
Particularly ask Aegon more than once. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I believe we have what we came for. We have the two foci. We already know where one is, and unfortunately, one is MIA. Ari doesn't have anything else extra to pick up here. He's ready to rock and roll.
Mr. Ari, do we know where Mr. Vex is?
No, yes and no. Vex did send me a message. He replied to my magical message and told me that he and Shepard were safe and that we were not to try to follow them.
How original.
Well, he was following up some sort of lead. My guess is he was either going to try to track down Fava, which is less likely, or there's a particular goblin spellcaster type that he has a bit of a mad on about, and he may have been trying to track her down. A friend of his, Punkaram Darkstone, is also quite agitated with this goblin spellcaster, so they may have perhaps teamed up to investigate a lead there.
That is the one-off comic I want to see.
Oh, my God.
Punk and Vex.
Yep. It's like Wolverine and Deadeye or something, or Deadpool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Two very angry people.
Yes.
So we don't know where they are?
He did not give me his location, unfortunately. But he did say that he was okay.
Well, you did send him a message. You could do it again,
yeah,
right?
I can do it again. What I told him, he basically said that don't try to follow me. Don't try to come back. I could try to send him another message. He didn't say that I couldn't. The implication I got was that he would be busy. But certainly I could try to track him down, send him another message and say that, that we are now leaving the area, and let him know that we are going back to Coombridge. So I could certainly take a moment to do that if we have a few minutes beforehand, and I will send him that message so that he can be aware that we're not in this vicinity anymore.
Yeah, because if he's somewhere, and I mean, maybe we could go pick him up if we can fly there. We have this big thing. There's still room, even though all the kobolds are here. We'll make room.
Well, Vex and Shepard don't take up that much space. I am trying to find what he sent to me.
You pretty there much it summarized it.
Yeah, Shep found me. Don't look for us. We're following a lead. Stay safe. We'll meet later. That's what he responded. So I will attempt then to send him a message. I will need a minute or two to gather my personal thoughts on how to word that. If somebody else wants to do things, now would be a good time.
Okay, well, let's cut to Vex, because he is the subject of this conversation.
Hello.
Vex, you've been having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to start off, you did find some things that were, you think, very useful for the party at large that we've discussed before game started.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't think it was something that you could handle on your own. You may have, in fact, done an expedited retreat from the area once you realized what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you didn't actually do as good a survival check as one would normally expect from a high-level ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Because you failed to miss an ambush. And to make a long story short, you won. Eventually,
uh-huh.
Because they caught you, but they didn't catch Shepard. So you are currently trussed up. Imagine, if you will, the scene from Star Wars 3, Return of the Jedi. Technically, that's not 3, but never mind about that. The prequels don't exist.
Agreed.
So imagine, if you will, that you are Han Solo and that a bunch of orcs were Ewoks.
Oh, no.
However, imagine that said orcs are laying around you dead, some of them with their throats ripped out, and a very happy, helpful shepherd is there with you. And the only thing that you lament in this situation is that shepherd doesn't know how to undo knots.
Okay.
Which has given you a lot of time to think about your life choices.
Yep, and he's regretting quite a few of them.
So, Ari, do you have a message to send?
Just got to count the words. I think I do. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12.
I'll give it to you if it's slightly over. Just what's the message?
We have recovered Earth and Air foci. We can leave for Coombridge, Wait for you or see you there, Do you need help,
Your response? Pick me up. Orc ambush, help.
Okay. Would have to cast another spell. If he can give me... You should be... You got to give me some location.
We're going to fast forward and assume that we have a back and forth here.
You're a ranger.
You can give some various landmarks. Like, okay, a volcano that looks like this is in this direction from my location. If you're in the right spot, you'll see this thing. So yeah, as a ranger, you would be aware enough of your terrain that you'd be able to give landmarks.
And like 11 has, 7-Eleven.
So. Yeah. Turn right at the 7-Eleven.
Where I grew up, you would go to 3 miles before where the copper penny used to be.
Yeah. Where it used to be.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, there's in the Allentown Bethlehem Easton area, there is happens to be an old store that used to be called the Copper Penny. And it is long gone, but people who remember it still use it as a landmark because it was so iconic. But moving right along. So, Vex.
Is he, to back up a second, is he, he's still somewhere on the, this, in this general area. So we're not leaving with the blimp yet.
Oh, no, this is something where you take the blimp because this is out of the city is on a trajectory.
Right. And it's headed big. Towards, right. It's headed towards, capital city.
Yes.
We're departing from the Orc Island, I guess, the Orc area where the city landed to take us back to.
Flyby. The city actually isn't stopping at all.
Gotcha.
To change its momentum and direction is lumbering at best. So they're not making a detour to pick up Vex. It's possible they wouldn't be able to.
So right, but our plan is to take the blimp and find Vex.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure of.
So, Vex, the first thing you notice is that there's a shadow cast over you.
Okay.
And the shadow gets larger and larger, and eventually you see a platform with about 50 kobolds land next to you. And they look at you, and one of them waves and says, "Hi."
Well, I'm bound and gagged, so I'm just going to look at
you. You're not gagged, but you are.
Oh, bound. Not gagged. Hello?
We're going to Coombridge.
Am I with the kobolds or am I not with the kobolds?
That's a good question. Do you want to ride with, were you wanting to ride with the kobolds or were you riding with Master Ari?
Well, I think I talked to him before we got the ship moving, right? So I'm going to hang with the kobolds.
Okay. So
I'm
you
okay
do
with
see
that.
All of the kobolds are wearing fantastic looking tacky, super tacky hats.
Okay, I don't even see Meepo, and I see the hats, and I just say Meepo.
She's somewhere near the back.
Do I hear Mr. Vex?
You hear him.
Okay, so I start kind of moving my way towards the front.
You can get off the platform and walk around it. I'm not making it that difficult for you.
Okay, so I'm gonna like hop down and look around a little bit, and then go over and see if I can
give me a constitution check.
Okay.
Actually, no, wait. Is it constitution?
I don't know.
Is it a strength check when you get takedown from Shepard?
Oh. Right. I don't know.
Takedown with Shepard, yeah. Strength saving.
Strength saving.
Okay.
DC 12.
On the keyboard. Oh, a 12? Okay. Yeah. Do I have a 12?
Shepherd's not a strong puppy. He's a dexterous puppy.
I have a 10.
That doesn't do it. And you've plus got a, one. You got a minus. Usually.
Wait, is it dexter? What a strength it, check. Is a minus strength. 2, so I have an 8.
Yeah, so you are flat on your back with a large wolf on top of you, licking your face. And a bunch of kobolds are sort of readying weapons and spells, but they're hesitating because... You're not. You are more powerful.
Because I'm giggling, and I'm giggling and giggling and hugging the puppy. Who's a good puppy, Shepherd?
I love it.
A little help.
I'm trying,
Shepherd. And I just kind of whistle on.
One of the other kobolds comes over and cuts you free.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Oh, about a foot and a half.
Thank you, dear.
Hi, Mr. Vex. I give him a hug.
I pick her up and give her a big hug.
Come with us. We missed you.
I hate this place.
Good, because we're leaving.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back on. We're going to Coombridge.
We don't know where that is, but we're going there.
I know where it is, kind of. I've been there.
Been there.
I lament the snow.
What snow?
Oh... It wait, has Meepo seen snow?
Not yet.
Meepo has... Oh, yes, she has. She has because there was snow in the last arc at the end.
But that was your first
experience with winter weather ever.
Right.
Yeah.
So Meepo's like, I forgot about the snow. Snow is... temporary.
I know they're cold-blooded, right? Uh-huh. Vex knows they're cold-blooded, right?
I would guess.
That's a good question. That's a good question, because for Meepo, everything about being a kobold is just natural.
Yeah.
So one could question whether or not you brought that up. Although you aren't from Circulus, so you would know more.
No, I'm not.
She might know more,
Give me a survival check.
A lot. 25.
Okay. The threshold for here was 10. You're fine.
Okay.
if it requires you to do math, it's not something where I'm adding
8 to survival now.
Okay. Well, yeah, you realize that kobolds are cold-blooded, and you have survived one winter in Coombridge, and there might be kobold sickles.
Oh, we're going to have to work on that.
We'll figure it out, yeah.
Well, you got a lot of time to think about, because the blimp starts taking off again. And the screen sort of fades out, then fades back in Coombridge. There was a little bit of a travel music sound. You do fast travel. And we are going to kind of fast forward through this with a bit of a montage for the first half of winter. Galen and Agam, where do you intend to stay?
That's a question. We're probably going to have to stay in the dirigible. Like, tie it off and just stay in that.
Ari would let you come stay at his tower.
Ari doesn't have a tower. He has a cave.
Well, he has a little...
His cave.
Cave, yeah. He's calling it his tower.
It sounds more tower, impressive.
But it's wider than
the tower in the dirt.
It's underground.
Okay. The tower in the dirt.
Okay, I got this. Lord Ravenscroft.
Yes.
I'm under the understanding that Coombridge has long and treacherous winters.
That would be an understatement.
Okay. I'm not going to fly this thing during that kind of weather.
That is a wise course of action.
Yeah. Do you have somewhere that I could park it up, essentially?
Ooh, that is an excellent question.
The Temple of Illmatter has plenty of space behind it that you may go ahead and tie it off, and whoever can also rest themselves. Agam is more than welcome to join the inside the temple and spend the winter there if need be.
Point of order, the Temple of Illmatter is in the city of Coombridge Keep, and it does not have a space large enough for a dirigible.
Right. Ari's cave is...
Does it float?
The temple of the Bahamut has it.
Yeah. Well, that might work then. But Ari's cave is near a mountainside. So basically they could park it right outside. And his cave is outside the city limits, as it were. It's a bit of a distance, but not, you know, something that it's like going to take days and days to get there. So it really, really up to
Vex pipes up.
Sorry, having a brain cramp. it's really up to Galen where he'd like to park it. I mean, he could use the Temple of Bahamut, which Crash said there that there is room to park that, or outside of Ari's cave tower.
Vex pipes up. We could let them park it at the farm, unless that's been burnt down.
Oh, Jackson and Ross, yes. Actually, yeah, and that's on the outskirts as well. Actually, we should check out the farm to see what's happened to it.
But if you can park it at the temple, then we can let the kobolds into, you know, where my kobolds are, and maybe they won't freeze to death.
Another good possibility.
We can do that one.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go there.
I'll go tell the kobolds where we're going. I go back down to the platform.
Okay. So with this understood, where is the dirigible going to keep for the winter? Is it going... You're going
to
stop off at the temple.
We're going to drop off at the temple and then park it at the farm.
Okay. Speaking of the farm, you get there just in time to manage the selling of goods. Now, the fields were left fallow for the year. You purchased the farm after the planting time had long passed. You wouldn't be able to make a profit from any of that, but you did have animals on the farm. Sheep in particular that needed shearing, and there were some cattle. So it's time to figure out how well you did. So Vex, I need you to roll percentile die for me.
64?
A 64. Okay. The business covers its own maintenance costs, and it earns a slight profit.
Doubly shocked.
Let's see if I can do this in chat.
We're making money, boys.
Oh, I forgot.
Your majority shareholder.
You make a grand total of 25 gold.
Profit. That's fine. Profit. That's profit is profit.
Yeah.
Ari, how much do they owe you?
1,500.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your way.
We're getting there. For that small amount of profit, he's willing to say, okay, let's reinvest that into the business at this point.
We need farmhands.
Well, with 25 gold, you'll get some. Not many.
To properly maintain the farm, you're supposed to spend about 5 silver per day. And that includes wages for farmhands.
That would be half. That's basically half a gold a day. So one every two. And how long do our months last?
Is it the same
as long as the DM says? It's kind of
nebulous.
Yeah. how much is a year? Is that about the same?
Going by 365 days. I'm not doing the Forgotten Realms 10 days and months with odd numbers. And no, not. I would not be able to keep track of that.
So 182 gold and 5 silver for a year to maintain a farm.
More or less.
I'm aft.
And 25 gold, but the main person working on the farm was Ross, an animated suit of armor filled with fire.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out that he didn't burn anything down while you were gone.
Kind of proud of him. Not gonna lie.
He's proud of himself, too. Carrying the bucket around really helped.
No.
All right. So, moving on. Fenix, my understanding is that you decided you would mostly be working on the temple through the winter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, some things do happen, because there was a bit of a loose end when you left. The day before you left, you encountered your father. And you had a wonderful discussion with him about heading home and giving up this lifestyle of an adventurer in temple building. You both agreed to disagree. Actually, no, you didn't agree to disagree. He was very upset that you were disagreeing with him. And he had 3 attendants with him. And they... You knew these people. There's 3 dragonborns. One of them is a blue dragonborn named Rivan, and he's a clerk. Tarhun is a female copper dragonborn. She is his majordomo. And there's a red dragonborn named Heskin, and he happens to be a chef. As a matter of fact, he did take it upon himself to teach a little bit of cooking skills to the kobolds.
And hi, chef.
Quiet you. Okay. Well, they tried to remain neutral in this discussion because they knew both of you. They knew you, Fenix, before you were hatched. Wow. So they're not family, but they might as well be. Unfortunately, your dad sort of took their neutrality as taking your side. If you weren't with him, you were against him. So apparently a day or two after you left, with your dad coming back to the temple every day to check and see if you'd come back, he dismissed all three of them. He fired all three of them.
Ouch.
And left. Well, it was a bit painful, but here they were in a temple of Bahamut, who they pretty much been serving for decades, ostensibly while working for your family, but still. So they sort of got on board with temple duties. They didn't have a clerk. They didn't have someone in charge of everything. You were gone. And they weren't very good at cooking. Basically, the skills that they brought to the table were skills that none of the clerics there had. One could argue they didn't have a lot of skills for anything. They were quite incompetent. But now you had three competent people. And now that you're back, they're kind of working for you, too.
Nice.
Yeah. You got followers. They do not have skill in combat, and they're vehemently opposed to attempting combat. They know their strengths, they know their weaknesses. They're not going to try to fight unless they've got no other choice. However, Heskin, as a chef, also takes it upon himself to teach anyone who cares to learn how to cook. If someone is hanging around the kitchen at all, he starts, you know, saying, hey, grab that spice for me. No, not that one, this one. You know why I'm adding this? You know why this is going? And he just teaches. Every now and then he says, bam, for no reason whatsoever. Wakes people up. And in the process, Agum, you know how to make sweet bread.
Oh, the sweet bread. Oh, it's wonderful.
That was something that Agum apparently wanted to do.
Agum might be the best. He really might be.
Okay. And as the winter goes on, Meepo, make me a con save.
Okay.
Constitution save.
I've rolled a 7. And that's Constitution is plus 1. Yeah.
Okay. So that's essentially an 8.
Yeah.
You get caught outside in a blizzard.
Oh, no.
And you almost make it back to the farm.
Oh, no.
Jackson finds you.
Oh, good.
He brings you back. But you're out for a few days.
Okay.
And you get about... It's a light snowstorm. It's only about 3 feet.
I'm about 3 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty much housebound at this point. You don't get to visit the kobolds.
Okay. But I'm at the farm?
You're at the farm. You're safe.
Okay.
But it wasn't a very good experience for you.
Yeah, snow is really bad.
Canonically, this means that all of the stuff that goes in the Monday game with the kobolds not meeting Meepo since she dropped them off can work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually can.
Yeah, so I'm not happy that you failed that save, but I'm happy mm-hmm. you failed that save.
Yeah, it's fine. It works with the story.
Yeah, I could okay. argue push comes to shove. It's an alternate timeline, but Chris has tried to veto that.
Ah, okay.
Chris will cut you.
You'd have to come and visit first. All right, so moving on through, winter continues and continues and continues. And you get to the time of the winter solstice, which is a time for celebrating with friends and family. And I'm going to assume that everyone in the party makes a point to try to get together for something around the winter solstice.
Winter's
sounds crest. Good.
Winter's crest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I still housebound?
You're still housebound, so everyone meets up at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume since Meeple was brought in by Jax and Vix, would just stay around her and keep her company during the winter.
Yay!
That's good.
I wanted to come back here because it has fire and it's warm.
Yeah. Ross makes a point of keeping the fire burning pretty much 24/7. It's actually a little uncomfortably warm for everyone else.
Meepo's happy.
Meepo's just like right next to the fire with 12 blankets around her.
Yeah, just all snuggly.
And you've got a little bit of celebrating that you're doing. Everyone got like a loaf of sweet bread from Agum as a present.
This one has cinnamon on top, and this one is a tart. It's different types of breads. I've been doing a lot of practicing.
These are really good.
Agum might have gained like just a bit of a slight belly.
From all the practicing.
No. That never happens. I make sure I get my workout in.
Every now and then, when he thinks no one's looking, he just relaxes a little bit, and you think you see a slight belly on him. Never mind. That's not true. And right around supper time, the front door opens, and a fresh burst of snow comes in.
Meepo shivers.
And immediately goes back out because cold air and warm air and everything. And a cloaked form sort of stalks in and then stops and realizes that this place is full.
The hell, I didn't think they'd be here.
I know that voice. Like, struggle out of the blankets and I go over to give Mr. Punk a hug. I'm like walking over with my arms. It's Mr. Punk, you're back.
Yeah.
Where the hell have you been?
That voice. I've been busy.
I give him a hug. We're glad you're back with us.
He gives her a hug. Yay. Do you guys got a
shovel? Whoa.
Do you guys got a shovel I can borrow?
I don't know. I don't think I have one.
There's probably one somewhere. It's a farm.
Yeah, probably the something tool laying around.
Tools, including a shovel.
Okay.
The shovel might have been the one stolen from the Bahamut clerics.
So he just like turns around and heads out to the tool shed.
And I just say to the group, "Did he just hug Meepo?"
Yeah, he did. That was nice.
That was strange.
Not my book.
He also starts looking in the tool shed for lie to see if they have that as well.
Of course.
Oh no.
That's definitely what you want to do. The ground is frozen solid. But okay.
He's making a pie.
I'm sure. No, it's lie. He's making soap. Just a lot of it. That's why he needs the shovel.
So he'll be out there just tinkering around looking for stuff.
Okay. So after Ponk walks back out again, Ross goes over and closes the door because at no point did anyone say that they were closing the door. So it's been open this entire time. In the back of most of your heads, you hear your mother screaming, "Close the door! We're not heating the outside!" Or maybe that's
Ponk might have been raised in a barn, I don't know. So.
Meepo's not sure she has a mom, and the caves don't usually have too many doors, so maybe
also,
she doesn't
don't
hear
have
that.
Barns.
Yes, we don't have barns. She knows what one is now, but yeah.
Okay. So the winter solstice comes and goes. You can write fan fiction about. Is it really fan fiction if it's your own characters?
No.
Okay. Well, Canon. you can write stories about what you gave each other for winter solstice and your adventures during the winter if you want to. I would love to read it, actually.
I might have to do that.
I am working on the next issue of a punk fiction. So
that's going to be great. I enjoyed the first one. I should probably ask you if I can put that up on the website, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, Ponk, in your adventures, at one point when you go into town, you do meet up with old Bob.
Oh, good. And all right. Where's he at?
He's about 3 mugs into a keg of ale.
All right. He will...
And looks like he's just as sober as when he started.
Ponk will come in and jump up, pull himself up onto a bar stool next to Bob and be like, "Good to see you, Bob.
Hey, Shorty.
Happy winter to you."
Yeah, it's just like all the others.
any work for me?
Wish I did.
Job. Want to take a job? I might have a job for you.
What kind of job? I am kind of looking for employment at the moment. Did you hear about old Dibs?
Did I hear what?
Dibs Coin Pincher, you know, the merchant that hired you originally when you came here the first time?
Yeah.
He's retiring.
Ah. Is anybody taking over his action?
Yeah, a nephew or someone. Wasn't interested in keeping any of the old hands, so I'm out of work.
What if you were able to take over that?
I can't take it over. It's already been given to somebody else.
Well, what if something just happened to the nephew? Like he got scared for him.
Old Bob grabs another mug of ale and downs it. You are, maybe you'll never admit it, but you're slightly impressed how quickly he downs it.
I actually wait for the bartender and just single. He'll take another one after that.
The coin pitchers, the family's done a lot for me.
So why are you out of work then if they've done so much for you? Where's the loyalty to you?
The loyalty kept me employed for longer than you've been breathing.
Loyalty to myself keep me breathing longer than you're going to be, my friend. You got to look out for yourself. Unless you want to just cry on your beer. Ooh.
He looks over at you. Do I look like I'm crying?
No. Seem like a man who just run out of options.
Give me an insight check.
All right. You know him and Bob are going to roll throw down sometime.
I'm looking forward to it. He's got stats.
And Punk will lose, I know. 10.
Okay. Well, you've never seen old Bob drink this much. But you would expect someone on their sixth mug of ale, third since you walked into the bar, would be just a little bit sloshed.
I know he's not a dwarf, so.
No, he's a halfling.
Yeah.
They're not known for the same constitution as dwarfs, but he's holding
right.
His own.
You're not drinking non-alcoholic ale now, are you?
He hands his mug to you.
You know, I'm just busting your chops, Bob.
You said something about a job.
I do. Should I come back later? Might be less years around, or somewhere we can talk privately?
We can talk later if you want.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll meet up at X time at XYZ location. How's that?
I'll set my watch. I'll check my home pilot.
Exactly.
He pulls out an inkwell and writes it on his palm.
Punk will slap some silver on the probably a silver on the bar to get his tab, and then he's just gonna slap Bob on the shoulder and say, "I'll talk to you later," and hop down.
See you around, Shorty.
So, yeah.
Canonically, by the way, old Bob is maybe about 2 inches shorter than you.
I always think he's human. That's I think I remember him as being human. So
no, he was always a halfling.
Okay. Well. And he calls me Shorty. So.
Yeah. Well, he enjoys insulting. Like, the more he insults you, the more he thinks well of you.
Right, right.
He's
right.
That kind of curmudgeon.
Right.
All right. Now, during this time, Ari, you have been cataloging your newly acquired trove of books.
Yay!
And prestigitating out the ash from the ruined bookcases.
That is okay. He knows it is his own fault.
Well, the bookcases that had the necromantic research in it were not his. That was done by the previous owner.
Right. And that's okay. I sort of expected that, given who the original owner was supposed to have been, or was. So they cleared out some of the old knowledge. That's okay. I sort of expected it.
And you find a lot of non-magical stuff. There's a bunch of books on botany. A lot of books on care of roses.
Again, following through with what we also found here makes a lot of sense.
There's a few art books, a few coffee table books, a few books that include art of coffee tables. It's those things where, like, when you're giving a winter solstice gift and you don't know what the person likes. You're like, well, I'll get them a book. They like books.
Yeah.
They're a wizard. They like books.
Indeed.
But there are books, and then there's a bunch of paper that has stuff on it.
Exactly.
And so you find a little bit of the other stuff, but you do find a few books that include spells, a few books about extraplanar stuff. So you do increase your knowledge. I've already sent you a list of the spells that you found, some of which are beyond your ability to learn at this point, but you're young.
Yes. And so we will keep a hold of those for the time being. And he also wishes to continue his research into the amulet and see what else it might garner as we continue to experiment, or at least further attune to the amulet and its abilities. I have also spent some of my small fortune on scribing some of those spells into the spell book, hence why Ari is looking forward to getting paid back some money someday.
You might want to discuss that with Mr. 25 gold profit for the year.
Ari is quite skilled in nature, so he may dabble in a little of assisting of the farming, even though there is a ranger and a barbarian who typically are also good in such things. He may try to offer some advice.
Okay. Well, you don't gain that much more knowledge about the amulet.
No. But I want to at least indicate my willingness to learn more about it.
Okay. Well, it's glad that at this point you're trusting it a bit more, and in fact have agreed to let it empower some of your spells.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very happy about that, and it's happy about the adventures you go on that don't involve demons or fiends of any type. It is really, really, really petrified of anything from the abyss or from the hells, particularly the hells.
Arya's not especially thrilled with them either.
I imagine so. So it doesn't expand upon his experiences with fiendish encounters so much, for the most part. Yeah, you imagine that it might reveal more in the thick of something, like it did when it told you about Arbiak.
Right.
When you encountered him. But it's very happy with not encountering archfiends.
So. I must agree with his position, since the archfiend pretty much did take care of us quite well until Fennec showed up.
What?
It also thinks that coffee table books that include pictures of coffee tables are incredibly boring.
I would have to agree. So they will become future winter solstice gifts.
Which would essentially be regifted twice.
Yes.
There's one coffee table book that is just pictures of fruitcakes and recipes.
I am simply sharing the knowledge.
It's what one does. I imagine that some of those gifts were given out for this winter solstice because you started your cataloging before the winter solstice.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep them a year or so. And perhaps when the original gifters are no longer in the area or on this plane of existence, then they can be recycled to another friend.
I don't know what you're talking about. Those are great for the bathroom.
And that is where it will stay.
Until all at least for are used up. Oh, I can't believe we went there. All right. Well, in the meantime, Obame, you have been trying to teach Galen how to speak Celestial.
And how has he done?
That's a very good question. So I would like you to share with us maybe a simple sentence that one might speak in Celestial, perhaps to a deity or demigod.
Who are you speaking to?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, you know how, like, when I was in high school and was learning how to speak French, I was given a lot of sentences that I was supposed to remember how to say, things like, where is the bathroom, and how do I get out of the store, and why does Paris smell like a latrine, things like that, That last one was not actually taught to me, but I may have learned it on my own. From my father, actually. But never mind about that. So what would be if you were, if Obame, who can speak Celestial, was writing a book of how to speak Celestial, what is a common phrase that you might put in there?
I would say like sa o pe sa toilet.
Which would mean?
This is not a toilet.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that is wonderful. I can't believe it took me like a second and a half before it clicked.
Omelette du fromage.
Thank you, Ego. Thank you.
This is a wonderful thing that should be spoken more often to certain characters in the party. So, okay. So, I'm going to ask...
Here's another one. We can do something that doesn't have the toilet. Tot orso from yut yukti si siau huai. And that is, where's the kitchen for the sweetbread?
Okay. So, Galen, roll an intelligence check for me.
Oh, intelligence? Okay. Just flat intelligence?
Yes.
Floor dice don't count. Watch the floor dice dead count because that was a bloody natural 20. 15.
Okay. So you managed to say...
it's in the chat.
I want to know where you're getting this from.
There's actually a D&D Celestial thing. You can actually go from English to Celestial.
Of course there is.
Can go from English to Klingon, of course you can go from English to Celestial.
Yeah, this one right here, I've had this for about a month.
So, artists for Wizards of the Coast, even the freelance ones, have access to fonts that are Celestial and Fiendish. So, there was actually one Acquisitions Incorporated game where Chris Perkins came on stage wearing an outfit. He was dressed as a Sarorak. And on his shoulder pauldrons for the outfit, it said Chris Perkins, but in Demonic.
There's a link for you, Car.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Galen, you try to say these, and with a 15, you're doing fairly well up until one point when you're trying to say the sweetbread tastes fantastic, but instead you say something about the demigod's mother being the spawn of a minor fiend, and that doesn't go over so well. But you're learning. At this point, you're going to have to do really high intelligence checks to speak Celestial and understand what's being said, because it takes close to a full year to really learn a language, even by going by mm-hmm. what the DMG says. Mm-hmm. But you're on your way. You can pick out nouns and verbs, and sometimes you know what those nouns and verbs are.
Okay. It's a process.
You're a bit iffy on picking out words that make something mean the opposite, like the word not or no or isn't. You have trouble picking those out. The conjugation is weird, but you're learning. Progress.
Mm-hmm. Progress.
Okay.
Well, let me have it.
So we're getting to the point where it's closer to, let's say, if it was real world, it would be around early March, which means there's still a lot of snow on the ground. Meepo's not going anywhere.
Nope. Staying home. Mm-mm-mm.
But, you hear some scratching coming from the basement.
Hmm.
The farmhouse basement?
Yes. Well, she's not going anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm still there. Hmm. So I try to walk close to wherever I hear like the scratching. Like, where under me is this thing scratching from?
It's coming from somewhere in the basement. You're on the first floor.
On the first floor.
Because that's where the fireplace is.
Right. I'm not going down there. It'll be cold. So I yell, hello down there. I hear you.
You don't hear a response.
All right. Who's with me? Is it just me? Or that's who's still question. Here?
Who hangs out with Meepo? I assume Vex.
Well, I said that. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Vex, did you leave somebody or something like an animal in the basement? Because it's trying to scratch. Can you hear it?
Can I hear it?
You can hear it.
Right. We should check that out. And
you don't remember Ponk bringing any guests over recently.
I don't remember anyone bringing any guests over recently.
Right. That would require Punk to have friends.
Aww.
Accurate.
Well, he in the past, I imagine that he did bring some people to hang out in the basement for a while, and he referred to them as friends.
Oh, no.
Right. Just to be safe, I'll take out his scimitar.
Okay.
Just in case it is something that's going to bite my face off, because, you know, things apparently like to eat dicks.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. Do you want me to use prestidigitation so you don't taste good? Maybe?
Not at the moment. Maybe if they do eat me.
Okay. Well, I'll go with, but if I'm not going down there if it's cold. But maybe I can aim some spells at something if you need them.
That's fine. And I'll go up and I'll open the door.
Okay.
With my sword
already.
It's a trap
door set up. So you open up a bit of the floor that's on a hinge. Mm-hmm. You normally have like a rug or a skin over top of it. Mm-hmm. And it does have some stairs that lead down. It's dark down there, but that doesn't bother anyone that's hanging out here right now.
Dark vision, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it is colder than the main floor because there's not a roaring fireplace there. But once you start going underground, it's a little more temperature regulated. So it's still not the freezing cold that you have outside. Meepo can hang out here for a little while if she so chose.
Yeah, I'll go for a little while. And if I get cold, I'm going back up by the fire.
Do you bring any blankets with you?
I don't know.
I make her take a blanket.
12 of them.
I make her take at least a blanket. At least one. I make
Okay. So I wrap a blanket around me.
Okay.
And go on down.
So we have one half-elf ranger wielding a glowing scimitar because that scimitar happens to glow whenever you are wielding it.
Yep.
That's just how it is. And a huddled mass of blanket that sort of glides and half trips down the stairs after.
Oops.
Well, you've got a blanket around you. And
right,
much larger than you. And you get under the basement, and you do hear the scratching coming from the far end of the basement. From between a couple shelves.
From some shelves?
Well, there.
There are shelves that are embedded into wall, but you also have like bookcase-like shelves that come out because the basement is meant for storage.
Oh.
And there's one corner where the shelves have sort of been arranged to make a makeshift room with a sign from Ponk that says, keep out.
Of course it does.
Yes, this sound is not coming from there.
So it's on a shelf or behind a shelf?
No, there's shelves that go from floor to ceiling in here.
Oh, okay.
Think like library shelves.
Oh, okay.
And between two of those bookcase-like shelving units, the scratching is coming from the floor between them.
Huh.
You kind of just wave the sword over in that area to just kind of light it up a bit.
You see nothing.
Are we still hearing the noises?
Yes.
Is it wooden floors we've got?
The walls are mostly earthen, but the basement is deep enough that the floor and some of the wall, not all of the wall, happens to be stone.
Hmm. So I go a little closer to where the scratching noise is, and I tap on the ground. We hear you.
Give me a dexterity save.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Both of you.
I've rolled a 17. Dexterity is plus one.
You're fine.
It's not great. 13?
Okay. So the floor falls out from under you.
Oh, no.
All the time.
You don't fall all the way down. Your cloak catches on the edge. And you also manage to stick your feet out so your feet catch on the side, too, to keep you from falling all the way down. Which leaves you sort of half-hanging, slightly choking, and staring into the eyes of a kobold wearing a silly hat.
I just... Meepo!
I didn't make it fall. I didn't make the ground fall. I don't know what happened.
The kobold hears you say Meepo, looks up, and then looks back behind it and says, "We found it! This one's the right one!"
Hi!
And you hear some cheers.
What are you looking for?
Looking for you.
Well, you found me. Why do you need... Okay.
Can I just unhook my cloak? Because I'm kind of choking here.
You fall the rest of the way down.
Uh-oh.
The cloak sort of slowly, because it's a cloak of billowing, it sort of activates and it sort of billows as it gently falls down and covers your form on the floor.
I missed the jungle.
Did you guys made a tunnel all the way to here?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
We missed you.
Aw, you guys are so sweet.
Pull the cloak off my head. And you destroyed our basement.
Oh, yeah.
Just part of it.
Just a little. He's right. Just a little.
We could put a door there.
We could. That would work. Maybe. Or at least a sign so nobody else falls in. We could do that. Wow. Now I can visit you guys even when it's winter.
That's the idea.
Yay. This is so good. I clap my hands and I give the kobold a big hug. And
this way you can help the next time there's a dragon.
You guys had a dragon?
Well, it was a small one, but yeah.
Oh no, is everybody okay?
Not everyone, but most of us.
Oh, well, yeah, you should come get me for that stuff. I can help a lot.
It was really big. It was as big as him.
Oh, yeah.
It had big wings that we hung up.
So it was a baby dragon.
No, it was a big dragon.
Bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a gigantic, ginormous dragon, but it was a big dragon. I mean, look at us.
Meepo, for a dragon, that's a baby.
Oh.
It might be bigger than you guys, but for a dragon, that's a baby.
Well, if it was attacking, then they had every right to defend.
No, I agree. My point is, there could be a bigger dragon down there.
Oh, no.
It was just the one. It had treasure.
It did? What did it have? Did it have shinies?
Oh, so many shinies.
Oh, I want to see where you put the wings, too. I want to go. Oh,
come on.
Okay, Mr. Vex, you want to come with?
Can you at least fix our basement at some point? Yes, maybe.
We'll get around to it.
Okay.
We'll bring back some wood or something to maybe make a door or something. We'll try.
I whistle for Shepherd. Come with us.
Give me a strength save.
Oh, no. Who give you a strength save?
Mr. Whistle for Shepherd Vex.
Ah, okay.
No, I'm good. 20, 22.
Okay, you managed to catch the wolf that jumps down the tunnel.
It's going to be one of those days, buddy. It's going to be one of those days.
Okay. We've been playing for a little over an hour. Shall we take 5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Probably a good idea.
I've been enjoying this little interlude, but time for a break.
Okay.
Break it is. Get me some coffee.
All right, we're back. And I should probably close the Blizzard BattleNet app because every time someone logs into a game, it goes bloop.
It makes a noise, yeah.
Yeah.
Bloop.
And someone is playing World of Warcraft. It's like there's a new expansion coming out or something.
There was 30 people online on World of Warcraft on my friends list today. It was weird.
I don't have 30 people on my friends list.
My friend Dave called me this afternoon and he said, we were trying to download the World of Warcraft thing and our hard drive fried. I'm like, that sounds bad. He said, have you heard of that happening? I'm like, no, I think. And then he proceeded to tell me that his desktop PC was 7 years old. I'm like, I know what happened.
Oh, my.
I've been told that World of Warcraft will run on a toaster. Yeah. So not possible that it was just working as intended. Did they try putting bread in their computer?
World of Warcraft will work on Logan's computer.
Isn't that your old computer? It's still a pretty good computer.
Shh, be quiet.
I instructed him to go to the nearest Best Buy.
Oh, why did you do that?
Well, because he doesn't like this person. Savvy. Yeah. he's not computer savvy.
His greatest enemy.
He's also poor, so.
I'm a teacher.
Shall we roll some dice?
Oh, you want to roll dice?
Yeah.
But that was just a segue.
I can give you something where you need to roll dice.
Oh, God. What have I done?
Okay.
For starters.
Sometime after the winter solstice and the introduction of the kobold tunnels, There's a new person in town, but you've met him before. He's purchased some property in the middle of Coombridge Keep. He is a gnome engineer, and you can parse the word engineer in more than one way. Edmund's steam whistle has opened up a train stop in the middle of Coombridge Keep.
I like Edmund's cookies.
Well, he does. Lunch and dinner are provided, and a continental breakfast are provided in longer train rides, yes.
Is there Frogurt?
Yes, but it's cursed.
Dope.
It does come with the choice of toppings.
That's good.
The toppings are also cursed.
That's bad.
I remember when Simpsons was funny. It was such good episodes back then.
Thank you for playing along. And totally derailing us again.
That's okay. That's okay.
And see, it was a train joke, too. See?
Yes. Yeah.
See what I did there?
I see. I do see what you did there. I rolled high on my perception check. So that was great. I love this game so freaking much. Okay, those of you playing bingo at home, you can check that part off on the bingo card. Crash said he loves the game.
And a Simpsons reference.
And yes. Simpsons reference. I need to sit down and make a bingo card for this campaign.
I just need a wagon to come up and I got bingo.
Okay, well, Edmund has made some deals. Matter of fact, he actually comes and meets up with the party. He comes to the farmhouse through the kobold tunnels because they're rather convenient. So you hear a knock on the basement door.
Am I still with the kobolds or am I back at the farm?
We're going to say this is several days later. So you're okay.
Ari would have used his magic to fabricate in stone shape to create a door down to replace the hole.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was going to really aggravate Punk.
A little wood, a little stone, 10 minutes, new door. That's all Ari needs.
I appreciate the functionality. I think the gargoyles need a side of the door or a bit much.
A little touch to make it homey.
Who would be there to answer it then at this point?
That's a good question.
So I'm hearing a knocking on the door? Is that? I'm staying at the farm. Yeah, I'm not still in the basement? People.
This
okay.
Several days later. It depends on how many days you really want to spend in the basement. I imagine people don't spend a lot of time in the basement willingly.
No.
Against their will, you'd have
she
to
She would
talk
have gone back up.
Punk would probably be in the basement.
Okay.
Yeah, Punk would be down there. Hanging out.
So you said Punk will be there?
Yeah.
It's the best place to keep a stash.
But no, he's not a different place for that.
Yeah, he doesn't hide it at the home.
He'll go up to the door and he'll say, "We don't want any."
It's a business offer.
Still don't want any.
It involves hitting things really hard.
I can do that for free. Go away.
Why should you do that? You could do that and get paid.
I still get paid. Keep trying.
Do we hear Mr. Punk yelling at someone
from...
Are we hearing that?
I'm going to imagine so, for no other reason than the ranger has an incredibly high perception.
I forcibly open the door.
All right, don't blame me that they came in and Punk will step back and let Fennec deal with them.
I made a door. I said nothing about a lock.
a piece of wall that looks like a door.
No, it's wood. It has a nice stone frame. I just can't really do much with metal. That's the dwarf's job.
You're going to learn that next semester, right?
Exactly.
But if you make a lock, then my kobolds can't come and go when they want to see me. Maybe they still can.
I imagine probably nothing more than a bar at this point, just a bar across the door.
Well, so at least one of the kobolds is a sorcerer that knows stone shape. So
they could find their own way in.
It wouldn't take much.
It would be fine.
That and they made the hole in the first place.
True, they did.
So Fenix has opened the door, and we see the gnome.
You see Edmund's steam whistle, and he's like, "Fenix, how you doing?
Oh,
good about that payment.
What payment? I paid you already.
Hello, Edelman.
Hello. May I come in?
Were you visiting the kobolds?
Briefly.
Oh.
What are you doing in Coomeridge?
I didn't know you knew the kobolds.
If I can come in, I can tell you the whole story.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
Honk just glares at him.
Okay.
Wipe your feet.
Certainly, certainly. So, to shorten his story, it came to him in a dream. A wonderful idea. Franchising.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I'm starting to regret the whole opening the door situation.
I am also starting
you
to regret
see why I do these things I do?
He's not trying to sell you on the franchising idea.
I know, but just hearing him talk about it.
For some reason, he had a dream of a gnome with golden skin that convinced him it'd be a great idea to work with the dwarves to have more train stops. Because having the train only go between two spots doesn't work so well when someone releases a kraken.
Is Galen here?
Sure.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to be here is here.
Can you guys get out of my basement, go upstairs and talk?
I think that's probably a good idea.
I think that I assume that you all went upstairs because the basement's not really a good meeting place anyway. So I'm assuming you're already up there.
Punk's just being obnoxious and saying it anyway.
So Ed looks around and goes, This is the basement?
Yeah. This is the basement.
I thought this was the main floor. We went up a set of stairs to come here.
Just try to let him have his thing. Let him have his thing.
Oh, whatever.
Just go with it, old man.
So here's what I did. I retooled my engine. It doesn't require Gear Grinder Special anymore to power it. They're not nearly as fast. Unfortunately, that is a bit of a downside. But now they can run on Dwarven Ale, which is great for the dwarves. They can maintain the trains. They already maintain the tunnels. And since they maintain the tunnels, they already have a bunch of tunnels where they can lay down rails. I get a franchising fee. I make money for maintaining the trains. And the trains get to take you anywhere in Circulus. Well, eventually. We're working on it. We're expanding.
Galen picks up a little while he then dropped them. So the golden skin gnome...
Yeah, Carl. It was a weird dream. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I have to go talk to a god, and he walks out.
Nice guy. In any case, this is all working very well. I even made a machine to make additional tunnels for directions where perhaps there weren't dwarven tunnels, or more frequently, the dwarves didn't want anyone being able to find the dwarven tunnels in those particular areas. And then it got smashed. So I made another one, and that one got smashed. So I made another one. That one got set on fire, eaten, and then smashed. Then I made another one. It sank in a swamp. I have no idea why. It went under the surface for some reason. That was a bit of a problem. But that one got on fire, fell over, sank into the swamp.
How much longer is your story going to be?
But the last one stayed up.
No, that was the last one.
Oh, okay.
But Father, I don't want to be married.
This is not turning into a musical.
So, you came out of a kobold tunnel. Are you trying to use the kobold tunnels for trains? Because I don't think they're
they're
much.
They're far too small. The kobolds gave me permission. It was easier to take a tunnel to get here than it was walking through the snow. I mean, have you seen the snow here? I've never seen snow that deep before.
Yeah, the snow is really bad. You got a point there. It's terrible. It should be warmer now, but no, it's not. And I'm stuck in here, and I'm getting bored.
I feel like I'm the only one that actually likes the snow.
I don't really care about the snow. I can't even see it.
Ari gets to be locked up in his tower with books. He's happy.
That's fair.
Well, learning is educational and full of adventure. I agree with you there, young man. That said, something is smashing my tunnel makers, and I need a party of skilled adventurers to find it and smash it.
What's it look like? Or you don't know?
What's it pay?
Well, there'll be bathrooms down there because this makes me nervous. I really, unfortunately, when I get nervous, my stomach goes crazy, and then people yell at me.
He looks over at the rest of the party at that, and he doesn't. He just sort of like holds his arms out, palms up, like I don't know what to say to that.
Don't know what to respond to that.
The gnome that just walked out told me he peed in a church, so having a bathroom would not be a bad thing.
I got a question about your trying to take a tunnel where the dwarves had tunnels, something like that?
Well, there are some dwarf tunnels that have already been dug where we're already laying rails down for my trains, and that's great. There are other locations where it would be very profitable to have a train go there where we don't have a tunnel yet. So I made a machine to bore its way there, and something didn't like that.
Okay. How is it being smashed? Are there cracks? Give us a little more information there.
Follow me. And he goes out the front door.
All right. Follows him.
Okay. Is it still cold out?
Oh, it's freezing.
I'm not going. See you later.
Ari is intrigued and will follow.
I asked Shepard to stay with me, Bo.
Pont's anger keeps him warm. So.
Ross and Jackson melted several trails with their body heat. Being a suit of armor filled with fire does have some convenient things that it can do. But mostly it's trails to like the woodshed and back. He pulls out a bag of holding and he turns it upside down and says, "Don't sneeze." And it's just rubble comes out of the bag of holding.
Okay, what's
there are no pieces larger than a dagger.
You're cleaning that up.
Oh, okay, fine. And he starts scooping it back in. But this is what I have to work with. It chews it up to nothing. And chew might be the appropriate word. I think, and he holds up one piece, I think these are tooth marks.
Can I look at them, see if it's tooth marks or anything I recognize?
Give me a survival check.
21.
Okay, well, they might be weapon marks. They might be strikes from a great axe. If they're teeth, they're frickin' big teeth.
Okay.
If it's a great axe, it's a serrated blade.
Oh, God.
I think we ought to ask the kobolds if they've run into anything down there.
I've asked them and they haven't.
Mm. Who else uses a tunnel? The dwarves, right?
Yeah.
You ought to ask the dwarves.
I did.
How about we ask them?
In fairness, I do feel like this is something that if they knew about, they would have brought it to us.
I think, I don't know. something's fishy here.
Would they have necessarily brought it to Lord Idris?
Well, you've got the Lord here.
This wasn't happening within Coomeridge's borders.
Wait, it didn't happen within Coomeridge's borders?
No. Only reason I'm here is because I knew you guys lived here.
Okay, so they wouldn't have brought it to Lord Idris. The dwarves might have thought that they could take care of this themselves. They are prideful folk, and perhaps would have thought they could have handled it on their own. Too proud to ask for assistance.
They also don't really go out seeking a lot of stuff like this. Their response when I brought it up to them was, "Well, we just don't have to go there."
Where did it happen?
Oh, I think I understand now. Your tunneler device, or whatever you call it, is you're trying to make tunnels to go elsewhere, away from the Dwarven Kingdom, right?
There are some human settlements where it would be quite profitable to have a train station there.
I can see that easily.
And the dwarves didn't see fit to have a base of operations there or dig tunnels to there because the profit wasn't for them.
Let's talk to the dwarves.
Has this happen?
Yes, where did it happen? If it wasn't in the kingdom of Coomeridge, where was it occurring? This was the train ride that I think I actually missed out on a lot of.
Yeah.
Now that train ride is totally defunct because the towns at both ends have been destroyed.
Right. Through no fault of our own.
Well. Yeah.
The Kraken is not really our fault.
Yeah, we moved the thing, got the Kraken away.
Yeah.
In our fault.
Just seems like somebody halfway doesn't want those.
This happened halfway between here and Skelvar.
Somebody doesn't want these tunnels built. And I think somebody set something loose down there to prevent tunnels from being built.
It's possible, but I've never found anything like this. And believe you me, I've been dealing with tunnels longer than most gnomes.
What's Skelvar?
Oh, it's an elven city up north. Yeah. I like it. There's very little snow. I think it snowed once 10 years ago. They didn't know what was going on. It was kind of funny to watch.
Can't drive those chariots in the snow.
So do we want to try to investigate it from Skelbar end, or do we want to start underground?
I'm assuming the train was supposed to, the tunnel was supposed to go all the way to Skelvar.
It was, yes. We've got lots of trains that head close to there, but once you go a few miles past that point, there's nothing.
And they were starting from the Dwarven Kingdom? The Dwarven Mines?
The Dwarven Kingdom is, well, as a knowledgeable person native to Circulus, Ari, you are aware that the Dwarven Kingdom is not so much a single location as it is. They've claimed everything below a certain point on the entire continent. So the kingdom is most of Circulus.
Right. Realm, then, perhaps.
Yes. Everything underground is their realm.
Right. They consider everything more than, say, 50 feet underground their home.
Yes.
Or whatever the limit is. I gave it an arbitrary number.
Yeah. And I'm saying that it's an arbitrary number, too. I haven't thought about that. They kind of keep away from the island because everyone that isn't a barbarian or an orc keeps away from the island.
Right.
Well, barbarian, orc, or Mehros.
All right. So it seems like to me we have two options. We could try to the rails aren't reaching Skelbar, but when we go, I guess you're trying to build a rail line to there.
Yes.
And how far away? I guess what's the farthest range that it's gotten from its starting point? You said you've built three or four of these now?
Oh, more than that. I've been
more than that.
I just need to build the trains. The dwarves are putting in the rails, and there's a lot of dwarves. Look, here, I'll show you one. Can we go inside?
Yes.
It's cold out here. Okay, so you go inside. He pulls out a map. But he basically draws it for you on the map. And
as we're walking in, I want to just very quickly say, Ari, we do have a gnome that has a flying ship.
Oh, yeah. Travel's not the issue.
Well, travel is not the issue.
I'm just trying to figure out where is the best place to start.
There are little red dots all over this map.
Yeah.
Mostly around where you are now, but they sort of radiate out. There is one that is in the city of Adrolanka.
Yeah, let's not go there.
You sure you don't want to go home for a while and visit the parents?
Oh, but no, I didn't get to meet your mother last time.
What other races are known for tunneling that are native to Circulus?
Goblins. They're not known for tunneling well.
Okay.
They don't have a lot of foresight. They don't do a lot of planning for the long term. So their tunnels don't always last incredibly long.
So dwarves dwarves and gnomes are probably the best known for...
Gnomes don't tend to dig a lot of tunnels. There are some gnomes that live among the dwarves.
Except for deep gnomes. my kind of gnomes are.
so far as Ponk knows, he's the only deep gnome in the world right now.
Right, that he knows,
you've never seen another one of you.
Right. I don't want to.
Not here anyway. Not
he doesn't like gnomes.
But there are... There are train stops close-ish to where this is happening. So you can get on a train and be most of the way there by 2 days from now.
All right.
Which is better than what Galen would be able to do. Whether Galen admits that to you or not, that's up to him.
He will not.
Especially in this winter season, he's not entirely sure his airship will make it out of Coombridge safely. Well, no, that's not true. The airship will make it out of here safely. The passengers might not.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, it's made of adamantine. It survived a previous crash.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the question. Where do we want to begin? We have a lot of these red dots. My initial thought might be somewhere where there's new construction. If
he's pointed out to you where the accidents are happening and the closest train stop to that, you could make it there in 2 days.
Right. We could look at one of the previous accident sites and see what clues we might gain from there. The trick is trying to predict where the next attack will be, and it's whether or not it's, I guess it's where the next newest construction might be. Whatever's destroying your, digging machines, rail machines, whatever you want to call them. How do they know where they're coming? I mean, I don't understand how this, do they make a lot of noise? I mean, I don't really.
Well, I didn't exactly build them to be silent construction machines. They do make a lot of noise. There is a lot of vibration. You can feel it a long way off. So
this could be some underground beast of some kind who is sensitive to the vibrations.
It's possible. And if those things that I saw on the scrap were tooth marks, that would fit with the hypothesis, yes.
Okay. So this is a bug hunt.
It could be.
I want to look at the map and see if Tom any knows. Of those...
It's not a bug hunt.
I want to know if any of the places where bad things are happening are anywhere near my kobold tunnels.
Oh no, this is happening a long way off from
okay.
Yeah, somewhere way up north from where we are, and your tunnels and kobolds are all down here near Coombridge.
Okay, so they're safe.
Yes.
The kobolds don't go deep enough to get in the way of the dwarves.
What was that, Vex?
This is true. Sorry, what?
Vex being the half elf that he is, he's really intrigued to say. Because the only other elf / half elf Vex seen would be Miros, yeah?
Right. Well, I'm intrigued. I do want to go. I would like to help our friend Endemann here, or Endemann. I'm sorry. Endemann.
Ed, understand me? Right.
My friends call me Ed.
Ed works for me. You can call me Ari.
You can call me Ed. Will...
Oh, yeah. Don't talk to him like he's your friend.
Oh, but I like friends. I guess we should probably just head out and at least start with investigating one of the accident scenes and then try to figure out what we can find there and then figure out where to go next.
I think we should go to the most recent one first.
I agree.
Clues will be freshest.
Yep.
That's
completely
Tom.
Agree. Yeah, no.
Tom doesn't really care. So.
No, and Ari would have suggested that. He's got some skill in investigating. So.
Okay, well then, question for the DM.
Yep.
The freshest, the most recent attack, which area is that closest to that we could set up as a base that we could work from? Would it be Coombridge or would it be the offside?
Well, this stuff is happening halfway between Coombridge and
halfway between. Is there anything else between there?
Oh, you're talking about a town.
Yeah.
Each of the train stations is in a settlement somewhere because the idea is that's where people get on or get off.
Right.
So many of them are towns that are along the long road, which goes around most of Circulus.
What's the closest to the nearest incident?
Tombstone.
To the latest incident, sorry.
Right, the most recent. The closest town to the most recent incident.
Town to be named later because I haven't thought it up yet.
Tombstone.
Last time I came up with town names on the fly, you all got mad at me.
Rightly so.
Rightly so, yeah.
And none of those settlements survived.
Stay on.
All right, that sounds like at least our plan of attack for now. Before we leave, I want to make sure that the foci we recovered are going to be turned over towards Fiddle Punch, and so that he can continue his research. If we haven't done that already.
You did that at the beginning of winter, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say it, so I wanted to make sure that we had taken care of that. All right, so cool.
And I did have this written down here. I forgot to tell you. When you return with your two additional foci that you found, you discover that there was actually an attack on the tower while you were gone.
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of demons attacked it.
That's bad.
The devils. You don't know for sure because Fiddle Punch isn't up to date on fiends and how to identify which kinds.
Ari's a little behind on that, too.
Yeah, and no matter which kind you're talking about, devils or demons, they tend to not stick around after you kill them. So he doesn't have a lot to show you. Like, well, what do you think this looks like? And you look at it and you say, well, it's a type of sludge that's currently evaporating.
Right. That looks like ichor, or maybe that's a pile of ash. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Either way, in the time I finished the sentence, it disappeared.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. That was just me.
For the last time, second floor, third door on the left. Your left. Your left.
Your military left.
But.
So.
The tower withstood. Fiddle Punch did have some defenses put in place. The tower was doing much better after the Modrons appeared and shored it up, which he's grateful for.
We're still not sure the motive of that. Who was responsible?
Galen.
Hello.
You remember something about that.
Okay.
An idle comment that Garl made about calling in a favor from Primus.
Primus? Didn't he say he called in a favor from the Raven Queen?
No, he said the Raven Queen would owe him a favor.
Yeah. Oh.
This is not a conversation that was had during one of our streams.
Right. Oh. Ari wasn't actually there. That's I remembered hearing it.
This is something that was a one-on-one conversation. But when Garl first approached Galen, one of the things that he mentioned was that he called in a favor from Primus, who is essentially a god on the plane of Mechanus. And then idly he agreed with Galen that, well, yeah, Primus would probably make a good band name.
Going back to Southport, going to go see some friends of mine.
My name is Mud.
That was just a side comment for him, and he didn't elaborate on it. But now that clicks in his head. And incidentally, some additional help was provided because Lucanidae was there too, and he helped fend off the fiends. So that was kind of nice. But they're guarding the foci, and Fiddle Punch is continuing his research on them.
Good. That's part of why we, the whole deal is if we can then figure out where that fourth one might be. Well, we know who has it. Do we ever actually learn her name in canon?
Galen knows her name.
Okay.
Who?
Fava.
Fava.
I don't know if we ever actually talked with her aside from the encounter we had with her in the lava tower when she stole the foci out from under our nose.
You encountered her.
And you
learned name that she was called when you went to visit your mom.
But we don't know that was her name.
It's the only name you've heard her called.
Correct. That's the only name I've heard her called. Exactly. But Ari doesn't know that that's her real name. That was simply a pseudonym as far as he knew, that was a pseudonym she used to work for his mother.
Well, you can ask for her birth certificate when you find her.
Right. Well, I don't intend to.
It may or may not reveal that she was, in fact, born in Hawaii.
I intend to question her with a speak with dead via OBAM once we get a hold of her again. So
we can do it if you want to. Yeah, I promise I won't do it in my Jeff Sessions voice.
No, do it in your Miller voice.
But we have to make her dead first before we can interrogate her with speak with dead. And she
I can help with that.
Well, she seems to be very elusive. So for that, we'll table that for now. But it is on his to-do list.
Crash made it very clear. Galen got very close.
Oh, I don't doubt it. She am scraped.
Hit points.
Yeah. Oh, well, we gave her a knock on the nose, but she am scraped really fast when she realized she was outnumbered. By a group of folks, so it doesn't surprise me that she will lit out very quickly the next time she finds us. So
she likes the prime material and wishes to remain there.
Yeah, that's Ari's looking to send her onward. So he stole that foci, and he's been at least a thorn twice in our sides now, if not more than once, or more than three times. All right. So takes care of what player wanted to do, at least from the foci end. I'm ready to proceed onward. If anybody else has anything else to do.
Okay, before we leave, Mipa's going to pick out the smallest of the pile of 12 blankies that she was using, and she's going to put it in her bag just in case it gets cold again.
You could take the bigger ones and put it in the haversack if you want to.
You got a bag of holding. You could take them all.
Yeah, I could take them all if I want, you know?
Yeah. Just yeah, we no longer needed to hide the foci, so Ari would have returned it.
Before we leave, can I look at maybe hiring some farmhands? We should really do that.
Ed is kind of anxious for you to be on your way to deal with this, because time is money, friends. He is willing to pay you 1,000 gold for finding whatever is destroying these things, and an additional 5,000 for eliminating it.
We can buy many. Good. We can buy many for that.
But that's if you leave today. If you decide to wait around for a little bit, he's going to take 1,000 off for every day.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay.
We're going.
He really wants to be like that. All right.
So Meepo's going to just throw 3 blankets into the bag of holding and figure good enough. Quick, go.
Okay, and that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
All right.
Is it bad that I thought in my head we could just put him in the bag of holding? Wait, I was just
thinking about it. It does have a limited air supply.
Gnomes are so pushy, man. He was really getting there.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of us. I mean, some of us have multiple characters. It'd be easy to overpower them.
Jeez.
Remember when I introduced this character and said you've never seen a gnome that had a 20 strength, but now you have?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of us.
Yeah, but Eggum can't wait.
Yeah, but Crash, I'm a ranger rogue with a 19 strength.
Yeah, but you cheat.
A gnomish inventor.
That is a 19 strength. That's pretty impressive.
I have a shepherd.
We have an ogham.
Yeah, we have an ogham.
I have a bird that I forget about all the time.
Oh yeah, you that is also true. Your bird.
That's right. Yeah.
Forgotten Justice. That sounds like a band name.
It does.
Sounds like a political statement.
This is also true.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So it's a band that makes political songs, then. I guess.
But we're a band. Don't want to
be an American idiot. What? Well, the good news is that once you leave Coombe Ridge, the days are quite green, because spring has started everywhere but Coombe Ridge, and places further south.
Because Coombe Ridge is a unique little snowflake.
In the mountains.
I see you.
In the mountains.
Okay, so...
Who are you? I am of the mountain!
At that point, I think we should call it a night. Thank you all for listening and playing. Who wants to plug stuff?
Eric, go see me at votetokick.com or get me on Twitter at SYNRGY007. We've been doing a lot of interesting wrestling stuff with Dave LaGreca from Busted Open on Sirius XM Radio.
Cool. My website's Book of Gen at bookofgen.net. It's got some podcasts and gaming stuff. And you can also find me on Twitch streaming D3 once in a while at Queen of Haiku.
My podcast is Azeroth Coast to Coast. You can find us at azerothctc.com. You can find me on Twitter at Kari_Mag.
Tom, your turn.
Tyra. I know, I don't have anything to plug. That's why I was being quiet.
Don't you have a book?
Tell them about your book. This is just dead air you can cut out later.
Okay, well, on that note, good night, everybody. Have a wonderful time.
See ya!
Good night.